all good. Well, crocuses decline after early advances.
Oh, come on, you guys.
Well, what do you know?
Live from Oxford, Mississippi to Traverse City, Michigan, it's Michael Feldman's What Do You Know? From Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI, Public Radio International. That's John Tulin on the piano, Jeff Hammond on bass, I'm Sarah Nix. In this hour of What Do You Know? It's funny man and Borowitz Report columnist, Andy Borowitz. Yeah. All the news that isn't and the What Do You Know quiz. Support for What Do You Know? Is provided by PRI affiliate stations and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And now, the man who fell ill immediately after his 65th birthday and believes it's not psychological, it's Michael Feldman.
Oh, it's not. How could it be at this point? I have no psychology left. Oh, yeah. Oh, boy. Crocuses. You know, I like to see the crocuses come up through the snow. I think that's such an optimistic thing to do for any living organism, you know. But they do retreat, I think. Don't they retreat? Or maybe just more snow occurs. They seem to get smaller at a certain point around here. That's all I'm saying. And in Milwaukee, of course, Milwaukee lawn care is the number one occupation, you know, and sport. And Milwaukeeans have been pushing the lawn care season with snow tires on their mowers. So they're out there already, and it's looking pretty good. In Milwaukee, I don't know if you know this, they were in National Geographic magazine some years ago, and they had on the south side in particular, they are sidewalk crazy. Nothing will grow through a crack in a sidewalk in South Milwaukee. They're down there with the butter knife or whatever, you know, getting it. And they actually showed a woman doing that. And a man in his sleeveless T-shirt mowing his lawn with a hand mower. So. In other words, Milwaukee. Let's see now. In all the news that isn't, California drought results in Lakers drying up. Russian nesting dolls line the Ukraine border. Ramses II leads Egyptian vote, some irregularities suspected. McDonald's says paying a living wage would result in a little bitty Mac and a 1/16th pounder. The European Union forces American cheesemakers to call Parmesan little powdery cheese stuff in a green can. You have to call Gouda okaya. Can't say Gouda. And mozzarella, we may not mention in public or private, so you can't even, not even to your friends. Genetic evidence that the Native Americans are Russian in origin prompts Putin to annex South Dakota. The general reaction is that if the CIA can find intelligence in Congress, more power to them. The Weather Channel officially out of names as winter storm Sisyphus wallops the Northeast. Pretty much has to be the last one unless they go to popular baby names. Winter storm Daphne, I don't know.
Hunter.
Winter, yeah, that'd be the one, isn't it? Hunter is the big name. Winter storm Hunter wallops the North. Yeah, I don't know. Hunter is the one, isn't it? Do we have any hunters here? Gatherers? and another news that isn't, a Malaysian Airlines search team still missing. Ooh, okay, all right. That was justified, I guess. You're right. I don't usually push the envelope like that, and I apologize. Candy Crush game app valued at $7.6 billion minus the 99 cents it costs. What does that come to? I can't do that in my head anyway. I always thought the bubble popper would be higher evaluation, you know. That one, you pop bubbles and the thing goes, they got to come closer, they're coming closer, closer. That's worth at least a few billion, I would think. Another one? Another one, don't you? Yeah, sure. I spent a lot of hours on that. Juan Pablo. Okay, newly discovered pygmy Tyrannosaurus, thought to be ancestor of modern Puggle. good news now, I guess, the scientists have discovered that at 65, when you reach age 65, I don't know who did, but in case you have, it's okay to eat all the protein and fat that you've tried to avoid for 64 years. of course, the bad news is that you didn't, so, you know, it's give and a take there. Who knew? Nobody told me that. And you may as well drink and smoke and do drugs. Because the demographics are with you at that point. You know, what more can go wrong at that point? And then, of course, you get the full free and rewarding sex life well into your 70s. Anyone experiencing that? Because I want to... I suppose you don't want to raise your hand if you are. Okay. Okay, in all the news that's not about me, Pope Francis enters year two hoping to avoid the sophomore slump. He had a great freshman year. Hit the ground running. Great year. If Russia annexes Crimea, it will be the USS small r. Think about it. Not too long, though. The sap is not yet flowing in Wisconsin, but the pails are raring to go. United will stream free movies to Apple iPad users and anyone sitting next to or in back of them on the aisle. Why isn't that? That's insulting. I'm an Android myself. You may know that to look at me. But it's true. But they don't get it. Just the Apple. Okay. Green Bay schools ban e-cigarettes after kids crush them out on the gym floor. Green Bay. See you, Green Bay. After being vomited on during her act, she is now Lady Gag Gag. And the Brewers make Hank the Dog franchise player to avoid free agency. That's all the news that isn't. Thank you so much. You're very indulgent and over-responsive, and I appreciate that. You're very kind. Anybody need this? No, okay. Got my Pepto-Bismol there. Feeling a little something. We call it the Tom Blaines around here because Tom spreads it around the staff. So, feeling a little bit of that. That's okay, though. Andy Borowitz of the Borowitz Report is joining us from New York City. And did you know Andy Borowitz, too? He actually wrote and conceived The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
No.
I think so. I think it's true. I saw a Borowitz name. Well, let's find out if that's true or not. Andy, that's true, right?
That is all true, Michael.
Yeah, you must have been like, what, 12 years old when you wrote that? Huh? That was a long time
Well,
ago.
I was just this kid out of West Philadelphia, and, you know, it was sort of an autobiographical story.
Yeah.
Memoir.
How did you do it? I mean, how old were you? You're probably in your 20s, right?
I was around, I guess, 30.
You're really old now, aren't you?
I'm really old
now.
Oh,
jeez.
But so is Will Smith, so there.
Yeah.
But it was, you know, I was under contract to NBC, mm-hmm. and Quincy Jones had brought Will Smith into the network. That was probably the most name-droppy sentence I've ever said in my life.
It was a good
really one. Really packed a lot in.
It was good.
In there.
I liked it.
And he, Will Smith at that point, was a 20-year-old rapper and considered definitely a has-been.
Really?
At the age of 20. He'd had a couple of hits when he was 16, and now he was completely over. And like most people who are on their way down in show business, he was reaching out for that life raft of a sitcom. You know, that's what you do when you're all used up. And in his case, it just turned out to be, you know, the beginning of this storied Hollywood career. And
you made Will Smith.
I did, and I think someday he will thank me for that.
Yeah.
I really do.
Nothing so far. I'm surprised.
No. He's actually a really good guy. He really is a good guy. I know
people say
that in show business, and they don't mean it, but this is the only time anyone has ever meant that.
Yeah. How did you get all the? I mean, it wasn't exactly urban in today's sense of the word. It wasn't hip-hop sort of thing, but you seemed to really get the language down. And everything, and the attitude.
It was hip-hop. You know, yeah. I grew up on the mean streets of Shaker Heights, Ohio.
Okay.
So I knew what life was like. You know, it was what was great was I just really spent time with Will and believe it or not, a whole bunch of other rappers. Because he had all the early 90s rappers did the show at one point or another, like Queen Latifah. And,
right.
MC Hammer, remember him?
Yeah.
He was there.
That's
right.
Don't touch this. That's
yes.
it, yeah.
Yes, Hammer Time was definitely 1990 to 91. And and that's when he was hanging out. But, you know, you would just, it's like any writing challenge. You know, you'd sit around and listen to the slang and pick it up. And it was really kind of, it was a fun experience.
It was good writing, and good writing for him. And he's such a natural.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
And you kind of, you really knew that the moment you put him in front of an audience. It was not any great mystery. Like, none of us were sort of patting ourselves on the back and said, wow, we've really found, he was made to be an entertainer. He really was.
His son, not so much, I would say. That was just mean, Michael.
We weren't even bringing that up.
I'm sorry. But he was total natural.
We were saying so many nice things about
the Smith family. I'm really sorry about it. But the kid takes after the mother, obviously. So anyway. Oh, I don't know. I'm sure she's lovely and he's good. It was just a bad movie that they put
in. I think the audience is turning on you. Maybe we should go back to talking about Malaysia Airlines again.
That's always good.
Yeah.
Now, you get in a certain trouble, don't you? Because of the Borowitz Report, you touch on all kinds of items that people probably think you shouldn't touch on.
Yeah, including Malaysia Airlines. But the problem is that there really is something, even in the darkest things, there's something funny about everything. And actually, I would argue, it's probably even in a little way, I never would accuse myself of being helpful. But it is kind of helpful to laugh at tragedy. You don't want to make fun of victims, but you do. I mean, I think the coverage of the Malaysia Airlines thing has been laughable.
Yeah. Oh, the over coverage of it?
Well, the over coverage in the absence of any facts, I would say.
Yeah.
Just from watching cable news. I mean, I was watching CNN yesterday, and they actually had a headline. You know, CNN always has breaking news, and it says breaking news, and that gets your attention at the gym when I'm watching it. And it said, breaking news, Malaysia Airlines mystery deepens. And I just thought, that's saying we actually know less than we did before. So that's technically not breaking news.
It's a tribute to the media. Do you sometimes feel that the media is not what it once was? First of all, it didn't used to be the media. It used to be the news.
Right, right.
And then it's a little different when it's the media, right?
Well, it isn't what it once was, and I think one of the problems I have a problem with the media in that they're now trying to be hilarious all the time. Like when you watch, I don't know if you feel this, but when you're watching CNN, I feel like sometimes they're trying to be like The Daily Show, and they'll show a lot of clips from late night comics, and they'll be laughing, amongst themselves and trying to be funny. The only problem is that they're not funny at all, so it's really a bad task that they've set for themselves.
Yeah.
And I actually like watching things like the BBC, where they just are totally deadpan.
They do news.
It's almost as if they were doing the news.
Yeah.
And,
I'm sorry to step on that. I'm sorry.
No, you didn't step on it. But we're just in agreement there. But I think one of the problems I've had doing the Borowitz Report in the last, last couple of years mainly, is that I'm sitting here trying to write fake news, and what I find is that it's often picked up and reported elsewhere as real news.
Yeah.
And this is happening a lot in
You're
China.
You're lucky. I never get covered.
Well,
I've never seen one of my jokes.
It's an honor. It happens to me a lot in China. There's this news service called the Xinhua. Xinhua, I think is how it's pronounced. And it's like the biggest news agency in China.
Mm-hmm.
And a few of the stories I've done in the last year have been reported in China by Xinhua as absolutely true.
Yeah.
And that's that, I think, creates even more confusion.
And I know that happens to The Onion and The Daily Show and so forth.
It does.
I mean, for some people, you're probably their favorite news source. And that says something about the age in which we live, I guess.
Well, I mean, it's certainly true, I think, in Shanghai. People go to the Borowitz Report first, not through Xinhua. But, I was just thinking about this. That some of the stories that they've reported in China as being true, really on the face of it, you really think they could have figured out that maybe they were fake news. I'll give you an example. I did a story last year. I don't even know if you remember when Kim Jong-un of North Korea was threatening a lot of missile tests and things like that.
Yeah.
And I did a story about the headline indicated that North Korea's missile tests have been delayed by problems with Windows 8. And This was picked up in Xinhua. And, the irony is you'd think that China, geographically is a little closer to North Korea, so maybe they would actually find out for themselves what was going on rather than going to the Borowitz Report for the truth. But
yeah, I did a lot of stuff about him, about Kim launching a PlayStation 3 in orbit. None of that got picked up. And for good reason, I guess, as I think about it. Well, and what is this now that I did read this thing? I think it was in the Observer that you have given up Twitter? Are you Twittered out? And your wife is quoting as saying that it was ruining your relationship or something. Your incessant tweeting.
Well, you know, I was tweeting for about 3 years, and everybody in the media, especially places like New York, it's really considered required that you be constantly tweeting. And after about 3 years, I figured out a couple of things. One thing I figured out was that I was never getting paid for this. Yeah. I just sort of realized this is entirely a voluntary activity.
Yeah.
But I think that my moment of clarity happened when I was, I think I told this to the Observer, I was shopping for clothes at a store, and somebody on Twitter reached out to me and messaged me and said, Casey Anthony was just acquitted. Where are you? And I realized, oh, I'm now on call to say something funny about everything. It's like being a surgeon or something, except that I'm supposed to be making a 140-character wisecrack 24 hours a day. So I thought that it was occupying just too much of my life.
Yes.
So now I just watch porn instead. It's a more healthy, and my wife applauds that.
She's in favor of that one, huh?
Yeah.
Does she? She doesn't tweet, I suppose.
No, she
or
tweeted.
Twitter. What is actually the verb for a person who does it?
It is to tweet.
To tweet.
It is to tweet.
And a person who does it, it's called a twerp, then,
I think it's just called a damaged person. I think it's the term. It's actually.
I do it, but I don't know what it's called.
It's people who need a lot of attention. That's why you'll see a lot of us comedians are on Twitter because we, you know. It does reflect some damage, and I hope I'm not overstepping, Michael, but for you, know, you and I like to go in front of audiences and tell jokes and get laughs, and that's really not something that a normal person really needs to do. Like,
no.
Most people are fine, are content to go through their lives without getting laughter from total strangers.
That's true, isn't it? I hadn't thought of it.
But the Twitter thing, it sort of feeds that addiction, you know, because we're already doing it. You're doing it on your show, and I do it in shows here, and I'm on the radio in New York. And then we also, when we're in our downtime, it's like, hey, how about this one? You know, we're just constantly. I still am on Facebook. Mm. I still do Facebook because I feel like it's the most efficient way to funnel my information to the NSA. So I still do that. I feel like, why put them to the trouble of actually taking webcam pictures of me? Why not just give it to them?
You know, the NSA doesn't even follow me. I get no respect at all.
Is that right?
I don't get followed by that. I have maybe like 30,000 tweets. When I discovered this, I thought, boy, everything I think is a pearl. You know, I'm dropping all these pearls, and where are the swine? You know, come on. No one was following me, and I got up to, you know, and I started, you know, hijacking other people's followers, you know, following them, then they follow you back. And it's ridiculous, because I thought, well, it's good, because this would be promotion. I want it to be promotion for the show and stuff. You know, people say, is that, and isn't he a wit? Or is he a wit? I don't know. A twit? Isn't he a twit?
You know, another thing that I think is good to do instead of Twitter, and I've tried this recently, is I've tried actually talking face-to-face with people I know in person.
I don't like that.
I've got to say, it's disappointing. It's disappointing. It's worth trying once just to see if you like it.
Yeah.
But I
and you know what's bad about it? It can get physical. That's what I don't like about it.
It can get physical.
Yeah.
The worst, by the way, is if you're related to any of these people. You should not. don't do that. That is like such a struggle. It's like Thanksgiving all year long. No, thank you.
Yeah. But now, like with my kids, my girls, they're pretty much grown. They're both in their 20s now.
Mm-hmm. Are they doing lots of social media as well?
Oh yeah, they do. But the only way I communicate with them really is I get the occasional Snapchat.
Mm-hmm.
That's heartwarming. And they text me, you know, and I said to my daughter last night at my birthday dinner, I said, you know, I don't ever hear from you anymore. You're tall, I don't see you. And my life is not good anymore. You know, it's my usual thing. That's me. And she says, Dad, I text you all the time. We text back and forth. I said, honey, it's not the same thing. You know, but, you know, so it's an odd age. And this is not my age that I find myself living in. Yeah.
You know, when I actually find myself communicating with my kids more and more through direct deposit.
Yes, I'm applauding that too. That's very good and very insightful, I think.
And you know what? They
nail
really appreciate.
The
they really appreciate when I reach out to them that way. They really do.
They do.
So maybe try that with your two girls and see if that improves things.
Yeah. But this follower saying, you know, I thought, you know, I first heard about the whole the Twitter thing, actually, John McCain. I said, what's he doing? What's John McCain doing? And he's tweeting. And then he had all these people following everything that he's, every weird thing that he says a lot of weird things, you know, and things you think are jokes, but maybe not. But, you know, and, but he's John McCain, you know, he's right in the middle of things, so maybe you should, you know. So I thought, well, that's the source of all power now is to get on Twitter and get, you know, like maybe a million followers or at least 100. You know, but I think John McCain is the one who really got it going.
You know, Michael, I'm going to try to put this gently, but yeah. If you're trying to stay in step with technology through John McCain,
yeah.
I think there's a larger
Not
problem.
Right.
There's yeah. a larger problem we probably need to address here.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, he was constantly tweeting to the Syrian rebels because he loves them, and they finally just blocked him on Twitter.
I can see that being a possibility. And you know what also is upsetting? Athletes doing it. I mean, guys on the bench are tweeting.
Right.
It seems
right.
to me, or in the dugout. I mean, how
right.
that should not.
And reading athlete
crazy.
Tweets, there is really no more damning indictment of American public education, really, than reading athletes' tweets.
Yeah.
It's really not a good thing.
You can't understand it. Well, I've
no.
tried following them, and I don't get what they're saying. Maybe
no.
it's jargon or something.
Right, right. Well, yeah. the New York Knicks are great on Twitter. That's really, I'm in New York, and we really, they have a great social media following, and that's pretty much it. They don't actually get the ball through the hoop, I guess is the term.
Yeah.
But they do a lot of good tweets they
do,
put out there.
Do you follow anyone on the Knicks? Or,
that would really be, there would be some element of self-loathing, really, I think, of following anybody on the Knicks at this point. I guess we have Carmelo Anthony is a good player.
Yeah.
We've got a few good guys. But, no, we just, you know, that's the main thing we've been obsessed with in New York is just how terrible our basketball team. It's like a lot of things in New York, really terrible and very expensive. You know, the Knicks just have really been suffering. Now we're of course looking to Phil Jackson as the savior of all. Suddenly this became like a sports talk radio show. I didn't mean
Go
to
ahead.
Do that.
You can carry my end too because I'm not too good on that sort of thing. Let's go to the report here for just a minute. Now what other stories are trending or are you tracking on the Borowitz report currently?
Well, it's interesting. We were talking a little bit about the NSA because this is unlike CNN, this is actually breaking news. This hasn't been reported anywhere else, but the NSA has had so many bad sort of image problems, and they're really going to take care of that. And this is just out today. They are going to rebrand themselves as the world's largest social network,
yeah.
which I think is a great idea.
Yeah.
They have 7.1 billion people. None of them have signed up, but they are following all of them.
Yeah.
It's a really great.
It's a huge friends and family kind of
It's
thing.
A great plan. Yeah. So that's an exciting thing. You know, it's interesting, you know, President Obama signed this bill, or I guess this executive memorandum a couple of days ago that's creating tremendous outrage and controversy because this memorandum he signed would pay people enough to eat. And that is creating tremendous controversy in Congress. A lot of Republicans lining up against
They're
that.
Opposed to it, yeah.
Yeah. yeah. So it's been an eventful week. A lot has been going on.
Yeah, and I noticed you did cover the Snowden appearance at South by Southwest. I thought that was
an amazing appearance. Yeah, he dropped four new songs. it was incredible. They were really good. Some people said they were a little derivative. They said, like, in addition to downloading a lot of NSA documents, he appeared to be downloading a lot of Arcade Fire as well. They seem to suggest that. But yeah, Snowden, whatever you feel about whether you're for Snowden or against Snowden, I think we all agree we'd like to see a little bit less of Snowden. I just personally think. I think it's getting to be at that sort of Kardashian level now where it's like, I know he did something at some point, but like, just please just go away a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. And he's certainly been the new. But the songs, you say, were good, or were they well received by the?
I guess there was mixed feeling. You know, yeah. South by Southwest, there's so many sort of music snobs, and you know, I think they were, you know, sort of all over the map. They were very eclectic. I think some of them were kind of alt country. He did one that was kind of dubstep, I guess was the term. So Snowden is just kind of an eclectic performer, but he's, you know, I think he's now, you know, he's done his whistleblowing thing, and now he's really all about the music, and I think that's kind of a cool move for him.
Now, this John Travolta Ukraine connection perplexed a lot
God.
Of people. I know it perplexed me.
I am surprised I was the only person who reported that story. That was such an amazing thing. This happened about a week ago after the Oscars. He made a surprise visit to Kiev, Independence Square, and he said some interesting things. He gave a very brief speech. In it, he I guess pronounced Ukraine cranium, and then I guess he pronounced Crimea IKEA, and that was also a problem. But they were very confused by his appearance.
Yeah.
But it was he just you know, he pilots his own plane, so he just sort of touched down and said a couple of confusing things and left.
Yeah. And I think you're probably the only one who covered the great the mass gay migration to Arizona.
Yeah, that was a great story. I mean, before, you know, that was a big deal a couple weeks ago when there was that anti-gay law. Mm-hmm. And I guess there was this organization called Americans for a Gay Arizona that were organizing a mass gay migration to Arizona to make it the first majority gay state in the United States.
Yeah.
Which I thought was really a fantastic idea.
There's a
dearth in Arizona of cute restaurants, first of all. And I think that would be one thing it would be fixing. But it was really, I thought that was really a great thing. Yeah. I just loved that whole, it was a week of I wouldn't say temporary insanity, because we are talking about Arizona, after all. But
yeah.
It was a week of insanity where they really thought that they were going to, you know, they did pass this anti-gay law, and then they came to this very awkward realization that gay people have money and buy stuff.
Yeah.
And that seemed to have changed their sort of perspective on the thing.
Well, this migration thing, especially you get the elderly gay coming to, mm-hmm. That's like a twofer.
Yeah, absolutely. You get some good sun.
Yeah, you get something for each, to serve each of that. Mm-hmm. Okay, the Arizona thing was undercovered, I think, at least in the way that you did it.
Yeah, that's generally true. But, you know, one thing I find a lot, especially I see this on Facebook, is I really thought at this point most people knew that if it's coming from me, it's a lie. I thought that was I've made that painfully clear over the years.
It's good
but
to
instead,
know that.
I'm always getting these messages on Facebook, these comments, which I find really entertaining, where people think that they've caught me making something up. And they'll say in a very kind of brusque, kind of stern tone, they'll say, Andy Borowitz, I have Googled this story all over the internet and have only found one source for it. You, sir. And sometimes they'll say source, as if I'm trying to pull something over on people. So yeah. It's funny. I'm really not. I think I've been very upfront about the fact that there's absolutely no accuracy about anything
yeah.
I say.
Did you notice that type of person always calls you sir, though?
Yeah, they do say
yeah,
sir.
You, sir. It's like what you know, medieval times or something like that. It's about to throw the gauntlet down or something.
Well, now, Michael, you do an awful lot of fake headlines on your show. Do you ever get complaints from people?
No one listens. That's the beauty of it. I can say whatever I damn well please.
Well, you know,
it has no effect.
You know, Emily Dickinson enjoyed that as well in her career. You know, she was able to just write her poetry and no one.
But afterwards, she killed. You know, after her death, she killed.
Exactly. So, yeah, 100 years from now, you'll be able to look down and laugh.
Yeah, I did like that one of hers. That my love had stood a loaded gun.
Mm-hmm.
That was a nice one.
Mm-hmm. That was a good one.
Didn't play
that
at the time because then I thought, yeah, your love is a lot.
I like that one she wrote about, It's Hard Out Here for a Pimp. Remember that one?
Better choice. You always get the better choice, Andy.
Well,
darn
no,
it. I picked
true.
A loaded gun one, my love standing like a loaded gun, and you picked a pimp one. Perfect.
That's all right.
And the GOP, you must have had a lot of fun, I would think, with it, except how it's hard to satirize CPAC, isn't it?
Well, that's the problem. Yeah. Actually, that's my one complaint about my job right now is that the reality of the world is making it very hard to write satire. And, you know, when you have...
That's true.
when you have Rand Paul and Ted Cruz as your leading straw poll winners, I actually had a poll at the Borowitz Report, which was didn't get much coverage, but in a hypothetical matchup between Rand Paul and Ted Cruz, most people choose suicide. Now, by the way, for those of you who say it's not funny to make fun of suicide, I was not making fun of suicide.
No.
I was really making fun of the fact that we're doomed as a country, so that's okay.
I think there's no question about that.
Yeah. I just want to put that out there because there's a lot of political correctness out there.
It's true. Those two intellectual giants.
But it is hard. It's very hard to make fun of the CPAC crowd. And even like Sarah Palin was back there. And Sarah Palin is now riding high because she predicted this whole Ukraine thing. You know, she had said that if President Obama was elected, that Vladimir Putin was going to invade Ukraine. And I thought it was actually cool the way Putin waited like a decent 5 years to do it, just so that it couldn't be traced back to Palin's prediction. He did wait 5 years. But I think, you know, everyone is waiting and wondering what Putin's going to do next. Like, is he going to, you know, what's going to happen with Crimea? Why aren't we just asking Sarah Palin? She's so well-versed in this stuff.
I know.
Seems to me she would be the one to ask.
I know. But she did add the insight about the mom jeans.
Right.
That the president was wearing mom jeans.
You know, just when we were giving her so much credibility as a foreign policy expert, I've got news for her. Like, you know, all the great experts like, you know, Talleyrand and, I don't know, Machiavelli, Metternich, they really would not refer to people's pants at the end of their comments. They just, that's how they got so much credibility.
It's a non causa pro causa, as we say in language.
Yeah, really bad idea.
Yeah, doesn't make any sense at all. So, okay. And I guess she's not probably what we once thought of her as being, the intellectual leader of the conservative movement.
No, she's not. That really is Rand Paul now. It's Rand Paul is the guy. I thought it was really great. He made this statement, very stirring speech to CPAC, where he said, we must listen to the voices in our heads. And I thought that was really a good... There was general agreement about that. No matter how loud and no matter how many, we must listen to them. That was really a great...
Now, did he actually say that? Because we're talking to you.
You know, I read it in the Borowitz Report, so all I want to say is, source? Source? Sir, I read that nowhere else on the internet.
This from an unlicensed eye doctor. You know, that's what it is. Unlicensed. He never got his license or something.
Is that really true?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I read it in your column. I have no idea. Andy, I want to thank you so much for taking the time. I know you're a busy guy, and it's a pleasure talking to you, as always. And the Borowitz Report, New Yorker, is the place to look for that. Andy Borowitz, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks, Andy.
Oh, thank you so much, Michael.
Appreciate it. The New Yorker. He's a New Yorker blogger. The blogger in the New Yorker. That's a pretty cool thing to be. Huh? You got to be blogging somewhere. Why not the New Yorker?
He's funny.
He is great. And what a good show that was, too, Will Smith. Fresh Prince. That's my daughter's favorite show. And it was totally out of her era and everything, but she loved it, you know. Oh, Will Smith, she loved it. That's probably the main reason, come to think of it. But the writing was good. That and the Golden Girls. You know, you look at these old...
She liked Golden Girls?
Yeah, she loves Golden Girls. But the writing is so funny. I mean, the lines are all funny, you know. They got some killer Jewish writers there, because it all sounds like Jewish comics. Basically, all their lines sound like some guy, you know, on stage at Jewish comics. Well, Golden Girls probably was true, but
yeah.
And Borowitz, come on.
It's all true.
Borowitz, figure it out,
sir.
Make the connection. They run everything. That's what I'm trying to say. Okay, I'm through with that.
Okay.
How are you?
I'm better.
You're better?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not all better, but I'm
You're better,
way,
I'm worse.
Better.
So there's a balance on this show.
I think you got it wrong. I think actually Aubrey was the patient zero.
Aubrey is the carrier?
Viral zero, yeah.
Okay, that could be.
Yeah.
There he is. Oh, he's happy now, though.
Oh, yeah.
He's feeling pretty good back there in the booth.
Any publicity is good publicity.
Yeah. Okay. Because he's listening to This American Life in back there.
Yeah, he's not listening to the show.
Surprised we got him. Okay, how are you, Jeff? Yeah,
he's good.
Healthy, all the kids healthy. No, everything good.
Yeah.
Yeah. And your daughter did so well in the swim meet. I know that.
Yes, and she just got braces on.
And she got braces on.
Invisalign?
No.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah. What color are they?
She picked, I think, four different colors.
Yeah. That's really cute, isn't it?
Yes.
For $10,000, it's really a cute thing to have. For two of them, you know, $20,000 like in cute braces. What's wrong with your teeth looking like your teeth? I mean, you know, it's crazy now. Every kid has to have braces now. And my girl's teeth, they were pretty nice. Nora had one little one that went slightly like that, you know.
But well, who doesn't have teeth are fine.
Yeah, well, they've been straightened at a huge cost to me. That's why. Okay. You know, now they're perfect. You know, I want to see imperfect. I'm attracted to imperfection.
Well, here we are.
Because I have to be. Yeah. Okay. All right, what's this song going to be here?
This is called Sorry Seems to Be the Hardest Word.
Sounds good. Did you know you forgot to brush your hair this morning?
Yeah.
Do you forget some mornings, or you just roll out of bed and?
Well, it's a look.
Oh, it's a look. Yeah. Well, I'm sorry.
I put water in my hair.
Well, I'm sorry. Okay. Well.
Yeah, we all shower occasionally, Joe.
What?
Yeah.
What?
No, I'm saying it's.
Don't take it.
Okay, you're right. Yeah, I need.
Okay. All right. I thought you had something on your mind there. It's a look, though. Okay. You know, I don't have any opportunity to have a look with what I got, so. This is not a look. This is a result. Is today's show a rerun or live? This is a rerun. Carefully selected for your listening enjoyment. David Cam of Decorah, Iowa. Guy Bergenthal, pastor, so I shouldn't call you Guy, I guess. That doesn't sound right. Reverend Bergenthal? Yes? Oh, there he is, way back there. How are you? You're in your civvies. You're underdressed, aren't you, for a reverend?
I'm semi-retired, so I
can do this. Okay. Semi. Why is finding the parking lot to this show so difficult? Winona Terrace. It's odd because it is a ramp, basically. The building is a ramp. It's a parking ramp with a theater in the middle of it. What? I'm sorry. It's a problem for the reverend, the good reverend? Wait a second, I'm coming. Hold on, Rev. Don't rev it up. Okay, Reverend, can I just stand up there? Okay.
Good to meet you.
Is this approved casual wear?
Yes, it is. Liturgically approved.
Yeah. Is this Methodist casual wear, Lutheran?
Lutheran, yeah.
Okay. Pretty spiffy. Like
thank you.
That's good, and are you still practicing at all? You say part-time or...
I'm filling a vacancy. I'm retired, and I'm at Good Shepherd in Beloit.
Oh, you are?
Mm-hmm.
You're filling a vacancy? What happened to the other guy?
He took a call to Massachusetts.
Took a call? Can he take a call here? I got... you got a call? Is there, when there's a call, you mean you take a call, I mean there's a job, right?
Right, right.
I never thought of my job as have a calling, you know, so it's a little different for me. Oh, so did you find it, though? You must have parked somewhere.
We finally saw some signs and followed those randomly around the downtown area until we found the on-ramp and got to the parking lot.
In this building?
Yes.
Okay, all right.
Wasn't easy.
Okay, well, it's impossible to miss because the building, as I say, is essentially a parking ramp.
We saw that immediately.
Thank you, Reverend.
You're welcome.
Pleasure. Thanks for coming. Nice to have you here. Oh, come on. I got lots of things to do here. What? It's at Borowitz, isn't it? Talked too long. Couldn't shut him up. He was good, though. I enjoyed him. All right, we're going to play a round of the What Do You Know quiz, a chance for you to win fabulous prizes simply for being fabulous.
But.
What?
First.
But before we can do that, are you afraid I was going to forget that, John? Thank you so much for being overly helpful.
Grease in the skids there, baby.
Grease in the skids is right, and we're sliding. Who has the four disclaimers? Yes, can I get you to come down here, sir, and meet me here, and you get a chance to read that. Here's your big moment. Probably something you waited for years.
It is.
Is it?
It's the highlight of my life.
Highlight of your life.
When
Which means I haven't had much highlights.
No, apparently not. And you are?
I'm Jerry Ryan.
Jerry, are you from around here?
Yes, I'm from Madison.
Okay. But are you from around here?
No, originally I'm from Toledo, Ohio.
Oh.
If you have a chance to go to Toledo, find someplace else to go.
We've been to Toledo. We had a good time there, actually. Yeah.
Really? You may be one of the only people, so. All right, so don't ad lib. All questions used in What Do You Know have been painstakingly researched, although the answers have not. Ambiguous? Misleading?
Are you in a hurry to get through it? What does it matter? Are you a lawyer? What are you?
I'm actually the medical director for student health services. So
really?
I take care of all the students on campus.
Okay, so there's a lot.
So they all social media text, so we never talk anymore. So, all right, so ambiguous, misleading, or poorly worded questions are par for the course. Listeners who are sticklers for the truth should get their own shows. Okay. In spring, an old man's fancy turns with difficulty. It's very apropos.
That's a beautiful thought.
Yes, it is. It is. Persons employed by the International House of Radio, how am I doing?
Good, you're doing
okay, all right. Or its member stations are lucky to be working at all, let alone tying up the office phones trying to play the quiz. Listeners who have won recently should sit on their hands and let someone else have a chance for a change. All opinions expressed on What Do You Know are well-reasoned and insightful. Needless to say, they are not those of the International House of Radio, its member stations, or lackeys. Anyone who says otherwise is itching for a fight.
Okay. All right. Here we go. Here, take that. Give me the microphone. He wanted the microphone and give me a sheet of paper. Okay. Let's see the hands of those of you who want to play the What Do You Know quiz. It is a general knowledge quiz. Well, you were the first. That should be factored in. What? I know, but he was... I was struck by the fact that his hand shot up immediately. But maybe it's too important to you. Don't cry. Okay, all right, come on. Here, now I feel bad. He was tearing up. It's hard. Oh, the guy in the kilt. There is a guy with a kilt in your row. Do you know him?
Oh, I don't know. Yeah. Don't know.
What do they call that thing that hangs in front of your...
Spore-ed.
The spore-ed?
Spore-ed.
Hangs in front of your...
Purse.
Okay. Is that the idea for to actually...
Well, that's where I keep my phone in my wallet.
I know you keep your phone in your wallet in there, but...
Catch things.
You don't keep your parts in there. Oh, okay, that's all I wanted to know. Hi, how are you? I'm sorry for that distraction.
Good. Yeah. It was fun looking at his sport.
Okay. Work it out with him. Your name is?
David Tank.
David, are you from around here then?
I'm from Menominee, Wisconsin.
Menominee. The western one or the east? There's two, isn't there? There's
the western one.
Western, near Chippewa Falls and all that.
Yep.
Yeah. What do you do out there?
I teach and I do 3D photography.
Oh, cool. David. Give me one good reason you should play this quiz.
Because I came all the way here just to see you in 3D.
I never had that before. Come on. Right down here. Walk this way. Step up on the stage of the mighty What Do You Know Theater. I've been on it here. Not actually known that, of course, but so don't try Googling that. Okay, David, so 3D photography.
I do, yes.
You don't hear much about that.
Nope, there's not a lot of us that do it, but it's a lot of fun.
Are you the old-fashioned kind of 3D with the...
Yes,
the dual lenses?
Well, both. I do the old-fashioned stereoscopic kind with the
kind.
Viewers, and I also do the anaglyph with the red and blue glasses.
Yeah.
A lot of fun.
And what are your subjects usually?
Well, one subject I have, I actually have a book out on 3D, Wisconsin wildflowers in 3D.
Oh, how cool.
So that was my first subject, and then I do the history of 3D.
Oh, that's very cool.
So I'm in the process of developing a 3D photo studio replica of from the 1890s.
What's the replica, the studio?
That would be similar to the way they did photography 130 years ago.
But then do you have to view these things on a stereoscope or something? You do?
Yep.
Yeah. And the book, how does that work with the book?
That's with the red and blue glasses.
So you got to read the book with the glasses on?
Yep.
3D. Oh,
yeah, works
cool.
Pretty good.
Very cool. Are some of these cameras your own invention? Or
None of them are my own invention, but I have a lot of different cameras.
Yeah.
The oldest stereoscope I have is from 1853.
Oh, that's cool.
So it's been around a while.
Yeah. And then do you do something during the day?
I teach at UW Stout.
I teach mass
communication and journalism.
Okay, that's cool. That's cool. Do they have a 3D photography class there?
They do not.
Yeah.
But they should.
Stout's a very good school.
Yep.
A lot of hands-on stuff there, and a lot of interesting things going on. Well, good for you. David, someone out there played along with you, and that's how it works, doesn't it?
That's right.
Yeah.
Somebody at home who wants to play would pick up the phone and dial 1-800-942-5669, and you would ask them a qualifying question.
How are you?
I'm okay.
Healthy?
Yeah, I don't have the influenza or whatever it is that
Aubrey didn't get to you?
Thank God, no.
I hope somebody calls a smart, that's a smart kid. They always do the best.
Smart kids are good. You can't beat them. You can't beat them. It's illegal. Okay, this is an odd question. On a good day, bamboo can grow how many inches? So on a good day, all factors being good for bamboo growth. Hey. Okay, on a good day, bamboo can grow how many inches? How many inches does that have to be within?
Two.
Next? Boy, you're tough. How about a foot or so?
Oh, really?
I mean, bamboo can really grow.
Okay.
Let me put
within
it to that.
Within a foot,
way.
Then. Okay, plus or minus a
All
foot.
Right. Okay. Let's go to the... my screen is so weird here. Yeah, Bill's on the line from Pittsville, Wisconsin. Hey, Bill.
How you doing, Michael?
Pretty good. How's the weather out there this morning?
Oh, real good. We're tapping maple trees with my 11-year-old boy.
You are tapping, because I had earlier said, erroneously, I guess, that the sap was not running.
Well, it's not running, but it's the weekend, and it's a good thing to get him outside for. Oh. And he's walking up to me right now wondering, what the heck am I doing on the phone talking to somebody?
What are you doing tapping trees? I guess maybe you wonder that, too. So the sap is not running.
The sap isn't running right now, but we're hopefully by next weekend we are. We're not a big operation. We're only tapping about 60 trees today.
How many? What temperature? What's the turning point for your sap to actually run?
Oh, you need freezing days at night and above freezing during the day.
How can you have a freezing day at night?
Yeah, there you go.
That's impossible.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
So we haven't had that yet, apparently.
No. Well, we have had them above 32 degrees days. That's the big thing right now.
Bill, do you know bamboo as well as maple?
Well, I hope so. We'll see.
Okay. On a good day, bamboo can grow how many inches? Surprisingly much.
Surprisingly?
Yeah.
How about, jeepers. You know, Pittsville's exact geographical center of the state as well. I have to put that out, too.
Very important. I guess you're spinning the state on a pin.
How about 30 inches?
That's close. 35 inches.
Yes!
What a guy, Bill. I say go with bamboo instead of maple. It's always growing. You don't have to wait for the weather or anything with bamboo, Bill. I'm telling you. Lots you can do with it. Well, congratulations. You qualify. So this is David here, and he's a professor at Stout.
Hi, David.
Hello, Bill.
What's your field again at Stout?
Mass communication journalism.
Mass communications. I never took that. Don't believe in it. I don't believe in it. So two of you guys work together, and we've got some good brains here on this. You should get this easy. And what are the categories here, Sarah?
The categories are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, science, and odds and ends.
Okay. Bill, you pick the first one. What would you like?
How about things you should learn in school?
Okay, school then. Okay, Pi Day could also be known as what day? Pi Day.
Oh, Pi. It was the math.
Not mass comm, huh?
Boy, no, not mass comm.
Not mass comm, anyway.
Pi Day.
Pi Day was, it was just yesterday.
Yeah, what was it? I guess is what I'm asking.
Extremely.
3.1.
No.
It was a 3.14 pi formula for whatever.
Okay, so was that so? Yesterday was what then?
Was
314.
314. Oh, yeah, there you go.
Oh,
all right.
314, yeah, 159.
Pi Day, Pi Day.
Yes, that's right. Okay, we can accept March that because I think you had the right idea. Pretty much. Also, my birthday. It was my birthday, March 14th. And Einstein's birthday, and it's also Pi Day, so it was trifecta all in one day. And that's
one right and zero wrong.
Okay.
All right.
What's left there?
Current events, people, places, science, or odds and ends?
David?
Let's try places.
Are you a sportsman, David?
I'm not.
You don't? You ever go outdoors at all except for flowers? Pictures?
Yeah. Bicycling.
Did you say places?
I said places.
Okay. Oh, you're a biker?
Yeah.
That's good. The number one wine drinkers in the world can be found in A, France, B, Australia, or C, Vatican City.
The obvious answer would be France, I think, but...
We're talking consumption per capita.
Per capita?
And it's not Vatican City?
Did you say that?
I think it would be Vatican City because several times a day they have to drink.
Whether they want to or not, I guess is what you're saying, right? Yeah,
I would agree with that. Yeah.
Well, what do you think?
Plus, that duty-free shop there, you know, that gift shop, this duty-free gift shop in the Vatican. So. You're saying Vatican City?
Yeah, that's true. I would say Vatican City, David.
Yes, Vatican City is right. It is. Number one. More than France. Okay.
That's two right and zero wrong, and the categories remaining are current events, people, science, or odds and ends.
Back to Bill, is it?
How about current events?
Current events, here, for all the money.
All right.
What's the difference between a large and a small beer at the Idaho Steelheads hockey games in Boise?
In ounces?
Yes, and how much beer you get. One is $4, the small is $4. The big one is $7, the tall. I want to know, what's the difference in ounces of beer? This made the news, by the way, so put it together.
I'm not a sports fan, and I don't drink that
Got
much.
Nothing to do with sports. Oh. Got something to do with beer.
Let's do with beer.
Beer pricing.
Oh, send a signal.
How about?
What?
24 ounces, maybe?
34 ounces?
Well, I mean, I want to know between the two of them. One is a tall, you pay $7
zero.
For. One is a short.
People are sending
you
out $4
for.
It's
I want to know.
There's a lot of zeros floating up in the audience here.
You're saying same?
That's what the
you're
audience
there's
is
no
saying.
Difference. They're saying you're no difference? There's no difference? The same amount of beer?
I'm saying there's no difference, David. What do you think?
That's what beers,
They're exactly the same size. That's the uproar. Hey. Holy cow! You get the tall glass. That's all you get.
David and Bill, you've both won the mother load, and there's no time to tell you all about it, because I have to tell you that Michael Feldman's What Do You Know is produced by Wisconsin Public Radio for PRI Public Radio International.
David,
Michael Feldman is our producer international.
Bill,
this
hang on.
Is PRI
we'll get you back to the
Public
trees.
Radio International.
Okay, hang on. Thanks for playing, man. Great job.
Thank you.
All right, you guys are quite a team. Thanks, David.
Thank you.
Stout is proud of you. And Pittsville is proud of Bill. Everybody is proud of somewhere.
Live from the Monona Terrace Community and Convention Center, it's Michael Feldman's What Do You Know from Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI Public Radio International. That's John Tulin on the piano, Jeff Hammond on bass. I'm Sarah Nix. In this hour of What Do You Know, it's a cheesy performance piece from Mike Arnold. Thanks for the memos and more of the What Do You Know quiz. Support for What Do You Know comes from PRI affiliate stations and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And now, the man who doesn't seem much different when he's feeling good, it's Michael Feldman.
Oh, okay. No, I'm ready. We'll use this. No, it's okay. We'll use this. Huh? Oh, thank you. Why are you handling that gingerly? Is that because I've touched it and you're worried of getting reinfected?
I don't want to be reinfected.
Is that worse than being infected?
I think so, yeah.
Probably it's twice as bad when you're reinfected. Okay. Well, you know, each week at this time, actual memos sent in by actual listeners and other things as well. But very nicely done. Oh, this is again on the headphones thing. This has been going on for weeks and weeks. everyone has a theory about stereo hearing and headphones and and that sort of thing. Apparently, not everyone. How many of you do have a theory about stereo reproduction and hearing vis-a-vis headphones or earbud use? See, no one has a theory about it. I don't know what I'm talking about. Can't believe everything you hear on radio. But this man has a theory about it, and many people do, actually, because they're sound people. They're not sound people necessarily, but they're people interested in sound. Yeah. Comments on left-right earpiece conundrum addendum. Ooh, I said that. Justin Perkins from Milwaukee. I've been following your discussion lately regarding the importance of proper left-right headphone or earbud placement. One obvious example that I didn't hear anybody give would be if you're watching a film or TV show and had the audio coming through your earbuds or home stereo and, say, a car travels across the screen from left to right, the sound mixer may likely make the sound of the car pan or travel from left to right following the motion of the car. If you have your speaker wiring crossed, however, or earbuds in the wrong ear, or if you put them both in one ear, as many people do, it might sound like the car goes from right to left, but visually the car goes from left to right. This could cause dizziness and confusion.
Oh, yeah.
Another thing that is painful for me to see is when people share a set of earbuds in public. That's kind of cute, though. I mean, that's something my generation never did, because we had the big ear flaps. You don't usually put your big flap on someone else and say, hey, listen to this. What are you listening to? Here, catch my tunes, or whatever they say. Because we didn't do that. So, anyhow, meaning one person has the left earpiece, the other one has the right one. Aside from this being kind of gross, the listeners are each only hearing one half of the stereo field intended by the original artist, engineer, producer, etz. Many songs are mixed so that certain instruments or effects only appear in either the left or right speaker to a certain degree. This creates the illusion of sounding big, wide, and powerful. An extreme example would be the Beatles albums where the drums are only in the left channel and vocals only in the right, among other things. Well, of course, that's just Capitol Records. That was their jaundiced view, in my opinion, of stereo sounds. That's why I much prefer the mono mixes on all those albums. They are far superior to that.
Really?
Well, that's stereo separation, you know, is a new thing, having stereo. So they actually separated it, you know, and that's not how we hear. You know, maybe in other sides of our brain, you know, one side of the brain hears one thing different than the other side of the brain. Well, never mind. I guess I care about this. I never even realized I cared about this. So depending on which of the two earpieces you have, you may be missing some important or not so important elements of the audio recording. There could be a crazy guitar solo happening only the person you're sharing earbuds with can hear it. That's true, because if you have a speaker in one room and another speaker in the other room, you miss half the song, usually, in most of these mixes. For these situations, might I suggest an expensive stereo Y cable that you can get on Amazon for as low as $3.31. This would allow you to plug in two sets of earbuds to a device with only one headphone jack. Not only will it sound better, but it's far more sanitary. Well, thank you very much, Justin. And no one write anymore about this. Boy, I hope this is for real. Now, this is the actual memo. And it comes from a Hallmark person. It looks like it's true. Hallmark taste guidelines. Hallmark cards. And this is something to die for. This is real. This is probably worth a lot of money. I'm going to put this on eBay or something. But this is from an actual group staff meeting with some updates back in 1996, of course, but it's still beautiful. Guidelines about what you can or what you cannot put. You know, they have the regular Hallmark cards, which are beautiful and lovely, and I never get. Then they have those goofy ones, whatever they call Hallmark.
Expressions.
Expressions, what?
Shoebox,
yeah, where they're kind of, you know, hip and modern and today and very 1996. But this is actually from a staff meeting, and they have what's okay, what are gray areas, and what is not okay to have on those cards. Cool, huh? Look at this. Okay is damn, hell, boobs, butt, hurl, horny, and nakedness. Can't be true, right? Okay, all right. Gray areas, sucks, guns, safe sex, bitch, poop, making love, implied alternative lifestyle. Implied reference to sex organs, naming political figures or political parties. That's a gray area. I don't believe this is. I should have read this first, I guess. I thought it was so cool. Hallmark taste guidelines. Not okay. Foreplay, quickie, getting laid, a good lay, puke, monkeys might fly out my butt, fat people drinking, even mildly risque humor at Christmas or Hanukkah, making fun of the homeless, bums, hobos, making fun of environment, humorous references to Irish of any racial group. To Irish of any racial group. Naming royal family members, implied mental instability, physical violence, words like kill, psycho, axe, murder, ass, and erections. I'm beginning to think I've been had.
Okay.
There you have it, though. I can't vouch for it. I got it off the Borowitz report. Where can they send all this stuff, whether it's real or not?
They can send it to whatdoyouknow@wpr.org with the subject line memos, or they can go to notmuch.com and post it there. If they want to put it in the mail, they can go to 821 University Avenue, Madison, Wisconsin, 53706, care of What Do You Know. Thanks for the memos. And if people should choose to be swine to your pearlescent tweets, they can follow you on @MyFeldman.
Whoa. See, now, that sounds bad. Like, my followers are swine.
Don't we have, like, What Do You Know taste guidelines? I've never seen them if we do it.
No, we never have meetings, that's why.
No.
You know.
Okay.
Otherwise, that's we have stuff. That's, you know, good thing we don't. Well, you probably read about this whole thing now, the EU and their cheeses, their so-called special cheeses, where they have said, you really can't use the names that we associate with cheeses, even though, because we make them here, we don't make them in Parma. So how can it be Parmesan, so forth? They're not made. Is there a place called Gouda? I have no idea. But if there is, it's not here in Wisconsin, for example. But so we're very fortunate. There has been a response from our side of the aisle on the whole cheese question. We're fortunate to have Mike Shorthorn here from the Wisconsin Cheese Congress, and he has the response to the European Union edict about cheese naming. Mike Shorthorn, ladies and gentlemen, from the Wisconsin Cheese Congress. Mike, the floor is yours.
Hi, this is Mike Shorthorn here from the Wisconsin Cheese Congress, and I believe it's much of an overstatement to say that international cheese wars are heating up to near fondue levels. You may have read that the European Union has nailed an edict to the old barn door declaring that Wisconsin cheesemakers must desist and refrain from using the appellations Parmesan, Gouda, Ardsala. Sorry, I have problems pronouncing some cheese names. Hard, soft, or smoked, Assaggio, Delivo, and Prosciutto. Bavarian and Bavarian-style Bergkäse, any and all cheeses with the word brie or blue, B-L-E-U, I'll note, in it. Mascarpone, even Australian, and nearly 400 others to designate any ripened, pressed, curd product not made strictly within the named village, shtetl, region, province, Provence, or Landkreis. This even includes Gorgonzola, and it may surprise you to know that apparently there's a place called Gorgonzola nestled somewhere in the EU, although it may, in a more literal sense, refer to Azola from Gorgon. Did you know that? It's Italian anyway.
Oh, Gorgonzola, yeah.
Yeah, it's Italian anyway. And no business of the French, and bien sûr, the French are behind this. That's what I say. Cheese purete is not the kind of thing the French are going to leave to Stilton. Eaters, no, sir. This has French written all over it. That's all I'm telling you. And also unnecessary. Who around here is going to make a nice Poligny St. Pierre and just call it and not call it what it is, which is goat cheese? Or come up with a ripely pungent... Why did you do this to me? ripely pungent Reblochon de Savoie.
Very nice.
And claim it just this morning descended from the Alps. Not going to do it. Europeans, in fact, are relative latecomers to cheesemaking, which, after all, was pictured on 4,000-year-old Egyptian tombs and 5,000-year-old Yan Empire vases. And it wasn't until the Roman Empire, to its credit, made the world known world safe for the consumption of ripened pressed curd that Europe even became a player. The appearance of cheeses in key roles in both Greek and Nordic mythology makes it clear that no age nor people possesses the cheese birthright. Here in Wisconsin, we have been in America's dairyland at least since 1831, right? By the mid 1840s, New Glarus was awash in Ohio cows and Swiss dairymen. And you know what that leads to? To paraphrase the late, great Walter Brennan, no brag, just cheese. We do not rest on our old world laurels here, but we innovate with a strong sense of tradition. Consequently, it is with a heavy heart that we must respond to the EU's non-competitive clauses, RE dairy products. Funny, they don't seem to have a problem with Brussels sprouts or Belgian endive. No problem with that. With our own fair trade restrictions. We have our own restrictions we're going to name today. Effective immediately, we enjoin all European use or reproduction of Velveeta, Kakana club cheese, in crocker out, right? Cheese curds, both fresh and deep fried. Brick cheese, whether it's brick shaped or not. Swiss, or in fact, New Glarus cheese. Farmer cheese, particularly when you know the farmer. Hoop cheese. Munster cheese, which lacks the E of the French Valley. Colby, the one near Abbotsford cheese. Colby, by the way, is what happens when you don't cheddar the cheddar. Liederkranz, a heads-up version of the old world Limburger. Brunost, found wherever you find Norwegians, and you sure do. Cheese Whiz. Easy cheese. Macaroni and cheese. Kraft Singles. And, of course, string cheese, which I know some will claim is mozzarella, but that couldn't be further from the truth. I mean, when's the last time you've been able to peel a mozzarella? That's my question. So the Wisconsin Cheese Congress takes these actions mindfully and with regret in the hope that soon both sides will come to an understanding that while we all have tremendous pride in heritage, ethnicity, and form of governance, we also have a shared heritage in the cheese, which should press us together. Once we reaffirm this, we can abandon limits and restrictions on all dairy products processed and unglobally, because those of us everywhere are ripened pressed curd product in the world of ripened pressed curd product know that in the final end, we are all under cheeses. Merci, grazie, danke, gracias, talk, and thank you.
Mike Shorthorn, ladies and gentlemen, from the Wisconsin Cheese Congress. Thank you, Mike. Well spoken, well accented. All of it was well. Well, well. Okay, so that settles that once and for all. No Velveeta for them. Okay. We have a little... time for all the news that is. You know, I do all the news that isn't. That doesn't get much laugh. So I thought about all the news that is. It's probably a good thing. And most of it is around here. So there are some things going on here that make the news, but just barely. For example, Ozaukee County puts brakes on mountain bike park near shooting range. Seems like a good idea. 39 acres, county-owned land in the town of Fredonia. Potential location for a mountain bike park, but right on the frontage of the Sheriff's Department shooting range. So we're looking at that again. Here's one in Green Bay. Were you at Green Bay? Hey, Green Bay. A man accused of armed robbery and then arrested with the goods in the Brown County Jail parking lot has been convicted. WLUK-TV reports that in December, Brown County Sheriff's deputy spotted the vehicle sought in a gas station robbery later that day at the County Jail Work Release Center. This guy never made it as a getaway driver, I'll tell you. Our sheriff's deputies say they went to take a look inside and allegedly found items reported to be stolen from the station. The owner of the vehicle was inside the visiting section of the building where he was arrested. Okay. That's why not everyone should be a criminal. You know, should be a cutoff for certain abilities. Oh, then there's this in Greenfield. The police were called in the dispute about a snow fence in Greenfield. A Greenfield resident called police to report her son was assaulted by a neighbor with a broom, and the neighbor flagged down a police car. A resident in the 5600 block, South 43rd, called police, said her neighbor struck her son with a broom and got snow inside of his truck. Oh. The neighbor left before police arrived at the residence, but flagged down an officer in 43rd in Layton, and he claimed that the caller's son threw a can at him and assaulted him with a broom. Police determined these complaints are part of an ongoing neighbor dispute, and the root of this particular problem seemed to be a snow fence between the two properties. Both the caller's son and the neighbors were given the option of both being arrested for disorderly conduct or dropping their complaints. They decided to drop their complaint. Nice to have the option. And there's this, you might have missed this, in Oshkosh, Arnold Schwarzenegger test drives Oshkosh military vehicles. Did you know that? Did you hear about that? Huh?
Our niece works there. She met him.
Oh, yeah, did she?
Oh,
cool. And she got to meet him. Arnold the Terminator Schwarzenegger quietly slipped into town to test drive some of the military vehicles at Oshkosh Corporation. Company spokesman John Daggett says Schwarzenegger toured the manufacturing plant Tuesday, took a 13-ton mine-resistant ATV for a spin. Daggett says Schwarzenegger became acquainted with the Oshkosh military vehicles when the company entered a hybrid light concept vehicle in the Baja 1000 race across Mexican desert. And this all comes from Oshkosh. There's a little local pride here is what I'm trying to say. While Schwarzenegger might have hoped the test drive would lead to a purchase, Daggett tells Oshkosh Northwestern Media, the vehicles and their design are the property of the U.S. Department of Defense, and you can't buy them. So he was thwarted in his attempts, actually. I saw him drive. Was that when I saw him driving a tank or something? It was like a tank? Does it look like a tank? He was crushing some sort of small building. It was Arnold Schwarzenegger crushing a small building in a tank. And was that in Oshkosh? Oh, okay. Finally, and I mean that, a man accused of driving stolen nursing home van to Trigo strip club. An Eau Claire man is accused of stealing a nursing home van parked outside Sacred Heart Hospital, driving it to a strip club. Christopher, I won't say his name, was charged Thursday in Eau Claire County Court with a felony count of operating a motor vehicle without the owner's consent. Must have been a good dance, that's all I can say. He's free on signature bond. According to the criminal complaint, an employee of Dove Healthcare said he arrived in the hospital at January 30th to transport a resident. The employee said he parked the van at the main entrance, left the vehicle running because of frigid temperatures. Never leave a vehicle running near a strip club. That's number one. When the employee came out a few minutes later, the van was gone. Hospital surveillance video showed a man entering and driving away with the van. The state patrol later found the Dove Healthcare van at a strip club. A woman told troopers he picked her up earlier that day with the van and drove her to the strip club. She didn't think anything was wrong with it. It was a healthcare van. And they were going to a strip club in a healthcare van. I think that there's something to be said for that. He was with the woman, and trooper found the keys in the van in his pocket. He could have ended up in some dancer's outfit. They're lucky they found the keys. Will Banks told authorities several days later he had no recollection of the day the van was taken because he was extremely intoxicated. There you have it. That's all the news that is. And you can't make this stuff up, is what I'm trying to say. That's all I'm trying to say. By the way, thanks again to Mike Shorthorn for that. Bring that down to our level. And okay, then.
Shorthorn, I got it.
Mike Shorthorn, also known as Mike Arnold, by the way. Mike Arnold, he has some job here at the station. Not sure what it is, but I think he may be my boss. Mike Arnold. Not here anymore. He was right there, though. That's cool. His aura lingers.
Huh?
Nothing.
Oh.
What do you think about that cheese controversy?
I don't know. Mixed feelings about it. I guess, you know.
What are they mixed?
Well, they make the cheese there. I guess they can call it what they want, but they've been making it so long, it's kind of become a style. So, you know, I don't know.
Interesting point.
Yeah.
Very well put.
Yeah. Maybe they could have something like, they could
judicial.
Say like made in Parma. Is it Parmesan cheese made in Parma, or is it just Parmesan cheese?
How about real? Like we put real on ours.
Yeah. That's
real Parmesan stupid. Cheese.
It means nothing.
Real it's, means nothing to you?
No, on the labeling it doesn't.
Well, it means that it's not cardboard or something.
Yeah, I guess.
Put filler in that.
Good.
Some of that Parmesan's got filler in there, you know. So if it's real, it means no filler.
But I don't think they're just talking about the you know, stupid little green things. I think you're talking about all, you know,
types of Parmesan. Parmesan is a very nuanced cheese, I think is what you're trying to say.
Yeah, I love Parmesan cheese. Parmesan
and there are many Reggiano, types of Parmesan. And the king of cheeses. They're very nuanced, and they all have various flavors. They're very complex.
Really?
But that stuff in the green can is still Parmesan. I don't care what you say to me. I'm going to shake in a can of Parmesan because there's no other way of describing it. Anyhow, what are you going to play here?
It's called Half Nelson.
Half Nelson. Totally. Jeff Hammond on the bass.
Ladies and gentlemen, once again, it's Michael Feldman.
Oh, thank you very much. So my good friend Todd is here. Where is Todd?
Right there.
You haven't changed a bit. Okay. I don't know anything about you. I got to read your card real quick here. Todd, how are you?
I'm great. I'm fantastic.
So what are you up to these days? So many words.
About 6 foot.
Have you been growing? Really? You're a late bloomer.
A little bit.
What are you doing these days?
I'm from Minnesota. We're here for the John Prine concert tonight.
Oh, you are?
Oh, cool. Yeah, that'd be a cool one. That'd be cool. Yeah, that'd be cool. Basketball fan?
Probably
not after last night, huh?
Not after the Minnesota Gophers. Yeah. I think we got you early in the season, though.
Yeah. Things balance out in the end, don't they?
They do. Okay.
And what are you doing these days?
I am a union organizer in Minnesota.
You are? How's that going?
It's in Minnesota. We're doing great.
Why is it everything that works in Minnesota doesn't work in the rest of the country? We don't.
That's a good question.
Too long an answer, though, I feel.
Yes.
Well, nice to have you here, and have a great time at the concert tonight.
Love John Prine.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, I haven't seen him in years. Hello to you, too. Are you with him? Technically? What do you mean, technically, you're with him?
Well, we're married.
You call that technical?
It's a legal position.
And your name is?
Debbie.
Todd and Debbie, ladies and gentlemen. From Minnesota, there. Diane Schumacher from Waterloo, Wisconsin, asks, why should we be aware of the Ides of March? I think that just applies to Julius Caesar. Pretty much it was some auger or whatever, or the one that cuts the birds open. I don't know what you call that. Is that an auger? What do you use to do that, an auger? Cut them open with I don't know. What? Oracle, auger, I don't know, said, and that's when the thing on the steps with the knives. So, I don't think for the rest of us it's a problem, is it? This is the Ides today, right? Everyone having a good day? I feel pretty good. Good, cool, okay. So don't be aware of the Ides of March, is what I'm saying. Sean Miles from Switzerland is here. Got his grandma, who's 90, and his grandpa was 93. They're here today. They've been married for 70 years, so it's a good start. They're off to a good start. Where's Sean? Sean. Hey, Sean. Stand up for a second here, Sean. Because see how tall you really are. Okay. I can deal with this height. Pretty good?
Yeah, how are you?
Good. What are you up to these days, Sean? What are you doing here? You're at VMI. What is that?
The Virginia Military Institute.
In military training?
Yes, Army, actually.
Yeah. So yeah. What kind of training are you getting there? you get up in the morning, and then what do? You know, kind of thing.
Well, I go to school, actually. Yeah. Okay. So not really much.
But, I mean, is it military training like the only course you can take there? Can you take, like, science and algebra and stuff?
No, actually.
Math?
I'm studying political science in German, so.
Oh, you are?
Yeah. So I'm getting an education.
It's a good school is what I heard.
Yeah. No, it's a good school. Excellent. It's a prison, but it's a good school.
It's a prison, but it's a good school.
Yeah. Yeah.
We've all said something much like that over the... No, Elizabeth, come on. This is your grandma and your grandpa. You got to introduce me.
All right.
Yeah.
This is Don Anderson. And
hi. How are you?
I do. I'm fine.
Very nice to meet you. Hi.
Hi.
And Don.
Don.
And Don, how are you?
Yeah, very well.
How's it going so far? So the first 7 years, they say, are the hardest.
Going great.
Yeah.
Yeah, really.
Where did you meet?
We met in De Pere at the fairgrounds.
In De Pere at the fairgrounds. What was the exhibit you were both at?
At a dance. Yes.
And you saw her on the dance floor?
Friends of each other.
Oh, okay.
Common friends.
So you were introduced?
Yes.
It wasn't just a whirlwind.
Later I told my friend, that's the gal I'm going to marry.
Yeah. You mean like... You mean like later, like 50 years later, or just like...
Or just later, a little later, yeah.
How did you know that?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Intuition, I guess. Intuition.
Yeah. Did you know that too?
No, I know. I never met him.
Still, to this day, you've never met him, huh?
Yeah.
Yes. So some guy comes... He was struck with you, though, when he saw you.
I guess so.
The dress you're wearing, I bet your hair is all done nice and you're very pretty, I'm sure. You still are.
Yeah. Thank you.
I'm not trying to put the moves on you. I hope you don't. But did you think as highly of him as he thought of you?
Maybe.
So he had to do the pursuing.
Yes.
Was he any good at that, pursuing?
I guess so.
It has been 70 years, so I guess you can't discount the end. What was your style? I know it wasn't a style thing for you, but how did you approach?
We had an agreement when we started that she would make, or I would make all the hard decisions, and she would make all the easy decisions. And we never had a hard decision.
Well, that's a brilliant philosophy. Yeah? Was he hard to get used to live with?
Yes.
What bad habits? And is there one, like, is he sloppy or?
Well, he's a Boy Scout.
Still, to this day, he's one of the older Boy Scouts, I guess. But what do you mean by he's a Boy Scout?
Well, he's a... Does things on time. That's it.
Oh, he does things on time. And does he blow a bugle when he does them? Or?
No, he just says, this is it.
Do things. So you're organized and you're... were you a Boy Scout?
Yeah, I was an Eagle Scout, actually.
Eagle, you mean all the way to the top, huh?
Yep.
And then... what? Tell them the what?
Peanut story.
What about that peanut story?
What peanut story?
I've been set up, ladies and gentlemen. Huh?
You survived on peanuts.
Oh.
You survived on peanuts, I heard.
Well, this was during a winter camp that we were at. And we had what they call a chicken brooder to heat our tent. And we also got a big bag of peanuts. So we used the peanut shells to burn up to heat the tent.
So that's the story? Is that the same story? Yeah. It was really cold.
42 below.
No, 15. 15 below was the...
And as far as your occupation stuff, did you farm out there, or what did you do?
No, I was a chemical engineer with Kimberly Clark.
Oh, no kidding. You know. Kimberly Clark, you're with which end of that?
We live in Neenah.
Okay, all right. Now, which end of that were you in, Kimberly Clark? There's quite a few ends in that business.
Research.
Research into what, I mean?
In our research and development lab.
Oh, really? Okay, yeah. Did you invent anything that we might know about? Surely, like?
I did get one patent.
Yeah. Well, can you say what it is?
Well, it was actually for a car that leaked oil and that. It was a certain type of wadding that was... put into a basket and was held on there with magnets. Yeah. So if you had a leak under your car, you took one of these little baskets and attached to it. Now you'd have to have an iron engine, of course.
Yeah. You know. Why would the Kotex people be interested in that sort of thing?
Oh. Well, it just happened to be a wadding. They were also a wadding manufacturer.
Oh, well, they were in wadding and Go-Tex. Okay.
So.
So you have a patent. Well, congratulations. 70 years. When is the anniversary? When's your anniversary?
June 24th.
Yeah. Big celebration? You don't seem that enthusiastic about this whole thing.
No. I didn't sleep too well. Did
someone keep you up? Who kept you up? Did he keep you up last night? What were you doing last night?
Sleeping.
Sleeping loudly, perhaps?
I don't know. I wasn't listening.
Okay, so it's Don and...
Don.
And Don. Is Miles your last name as well? Last name is?
Anderson.
The Andersons. Ladies and gentlemen, 70 years. And they're still like when they just met. She's not so sure about him, and he's a Boy Scout. What do we have for the Andersons?
I think we should give them all the wine.
All the wine.
All the wine.
All the wine.
All the wine from Wollersheim Winery.
Okay. All right. Yeah. That's a lot of wine, isn't it? I mean,
well,
they produce...
Well, you know, all the wine we have.
Several hundred.
Yeah.
Okay, you get all the wine. You like wine? Care the occasional wine?
Oh, yeah.
Like the occasional wine?
Yes.
White or a red?
Either one.
Thank you very much. Nice to meet you both. Thanks for coming. Thanks for joining us. A great pleasure. Good people. Oh, 70 years. Okay. You remember the guy with the 10 kids named? Yes, the guy with the 10 kids. Hi. Oh, hi. How are you? Then that's your family?
That's our family. I'm the oldest of 10.
You're the oldest, Jay?
My sister is the youngest.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm the youngest of the kids of Jean, John, Judy, Jackie, Janet, Joanne, Jerry, Jill, Jenny, and Julie.
She's Julie.
I'm Julie.
And your dad was here.
Dad was on the show probably in the late 1890s.
Probably not. No, that could have been the way things are going.
He's maybe 1990s, and you asked him about the 10 kids, and why didn't you go on to the K's? And that was funny, you know. And then he said, well, he didn't because he painted my coaster wagon with a J, and he didn't want to repaint the coaster wagon. So he named the next 9 children after Jeannie, you know, all the J's. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
So one coaster wagon served 10 kids.
Correct.
Smart man.
Yeah, yeah.
Broken by the time.
Tell them what you say about you like to listen to the tape.
So we've got a tape of that little bit that he did with you. Yeah. And he died in 2001. So whenever I miss him, I turn that on because I hear his quirky sense of humor. I hear his voice. I hear his laughter. And it's really a gift.
I remember him being very funny. Very, very funny. Nice to meet you all, Jay. The other Jays, thanks for coming. Great to see you.
He was an electrical engineer, and he worked for Harnischweiger Corporation, and he sold to Kimberly Clark.
There you go. It all ties together now. Very nice. It's Hoppy, is that?
Hoppy was the last name. I just want to say that people ask my mother, you know, how she could handle raising 10 kids in 16 years. And she said, I have absolutely no idea. So I just want to say that all those people who say if you remember the 60s, you weren't really there. My mother doesn't remember the 50s or the 60s. So she was ahead of her time.
Thanks very much. Nice to meet you. Thank you all. Thanks for coming. The Hoppies. All the J's. It seems impertinent to ignore a man who wears a kilt to your show. Yeah. You don't want. Are you from Green Bay?
No.
No, but she's from Green Bay. And how do you know her then?
She's friends with my sister.
Oh, okay. Okay. And you want to? No, you're not. You want to show them your sporin and all that? You would have a good reason for this.
I would like wearing kilts.
See, I said a good reason. You got a good reason for it.
She likes me in kilts.
Very much so.
Very much so.
Very much so.
Holy cow. What's the... No, I don't want to ask what the attraction is, to tell you the truth. That's a bad question. Hey, your name is?
Doug. Yes.
You know Jeff?
I know Jeff. Went to high school with him 20-some-odd years ago. Yeah.
And are you of Scottish descent?
Irish. Irish descent.
This is an Irish kilt?
This is actually the Heritage of Ireland tartan.
Do they wear kilts as well in Ireland?
They do, yes.
Excuse me, pardon me. That's a big faux pas.
No, not really. The Scottish get mad at the Irish for wearing kilts. We co-opted them.
Oh, you did? Took it from the Scottish?
Yes.
Okay. And is this your clan then that you're...
No, I don't have a clan. There's no Johnson tartan.
There's a lot of Johnsons. There must be a tartan among them.
It'd probably be very plain.
We're up to our ears in Johnsons around here. And the Petersons, and almost as many Petersons, really, think about it. So it's surprising they don't have a tartan. Or a kilt, whatever you call it. And the thing in front there.
This is a sporran.
Yeah, don't keep patting it.
It's rabbit fur.
And the history behind that, I don't want to see what's in there. It's probably his stash is in there, and I don't want to. He's got balloons. And oh, are you the balloon guy?
Yeah, I make balloon animals, too.
You're very... You're, by definition, an interesting person.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
And you're a salesman as well, is that right? Because I saw your card.
Yes, I sell things.
Balloon animals while you're selling things?
No.
It's a great pitch, though.
Yeah, I don't think my boss would like that much.
What are you selling?
I sell electronic components. So,
okay, it might not work with electronic. Making a dog say, here's this little capacitor that works with your rectifier.
You know, if you go to the gas station, there's the machine that spins the pizza that keeps it warm. Yeah. I sell the parts that go inside of those. Whoa. So switches, cords, power supplies.
I would think they go through a lot of parts in those because they're a lot of heat and motion and stuff.
Yep. Those parts? Yes, absolutely.
And do you work when you're on sales? do you wear the kilt?
No, my boss told me flat out I could never wear a kilt to work. So.
And the big question, of course, is on everyone's mind, you know, when I wear under it. I don't want to see. Your car said, you want to see what I'm wearing under my kilt? No. You just tell me, though.
Well, the answer is if I'm wearing underwear, it'd be a skirt.
And is it a skirt?
No.
Okay, goodbye. Nice to meet you. All right. I feel good about that. I couldn't wear something like that. All the drafts we have in Wisconsin, that's... Okay, we're gonna. What are we gonna do? Play the quiz? I don't know. Yeah, we'll play the quiz. Why not? It's a good way of getting out of the whole kilt contract. You're leaving? That leads right to the lake. If you take that door, it's a drop of about 100 feet. It's okay. And look, they're like lemmings. They're like lemmings streaming into the lake. I'm telling you, it's Lake Mendota, Monona, one of them. They look alike. Can't tell which lake it is. Depends which way you're facing. All right, let's see the hands of those of you who want to try them at the quiz. And if you're not there, yada, 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 yada. How about you? Of course you. Why not you? It's always been you. How are you? You've got to bring your little bottle here.
Hi.
What's in here?
Oh, it's water.
Okay. You sure? Let me smell it. No, I don't want to smell it.
Okay.
I trust. And you are?
Sandy.
How are you? Are you from here or there?
Yes, I'm from here. I'm from Madison. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What sort of thing are you doing these days?
I'm a copywriter. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think you'd be pretty good at it.
I always thought I could, you know, but yeah. I never went into it anyhow. So, Sandy, give me one good reason you should play this quiz.
Because it's been 20-some years since the last time I played it.
20-some years?
Yes.
When you were four?
No. Yeah. Let's go with that.
That's a good reason. She was 4 years old, and 20 years later, she wants to see what all the ruckus is about. Have a seat there, Sandy, if you would, please. Oh, yeah. Doodly-doo. So 20 years ago, tell me what happened.
Well, I came...
I remember, of course, but...
It was Vilas Hall. I came here.
Oh, yeah.
Raised my hand.
Yeah.
Got called on to play the quiz.
And you were just, what, grade school?
It was earlier in my career. Let's just say that.
Earlier in your career?
Yeah.
Okay.
You want me
and
to?
And did you play the quiz?
I did.
And how'd you do?
Surprisingly bad, I think.
No one ever, you didn't lose, did you? No one, I can count on one hand. How many losses we've had? Because I give it away if it looks like you're going to lose.
Well, you know, it's surprisingly, you kind of
get how it works when you're up here because you get a little nervous.
You do? Not this time, though.
No.
No. Just clinging to your little bottle of stuff, whatever that is.
Right, right. Yeah, my stuff.
Yeah, I'm not going to even ask. And so who do you work for?
A local agency called Hebing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Is that a good job? I would think that'd be kind of cool.
It's a great job. It's fun. Yeah.
So you do copy for
everything from healthcare. Print, TV, digital, lots of digital, social media.
Yeah.
Tweets sometimes.
Do you get to tweet part of your job? So you're the only person who gets paid to tweet, probably.
I am one of those people, but I'm one of many.
Yeah.
Yeah. We have a whole department for social media.
Is there a favorite line of copy that you've written?
Oh my goodness.
One that's you're proud of. No. You could say no. It's okay.
We always say, all of our babies, all of our children.
Are they like children?
I'm just honestly drawing a blank.
Okay. You said that?
Well,
I'm just honestly drawing a blank. I love that. Because I say that all the time. I had no idea that you said that. Sandy, someone out there plays along with you.
Yeah.
And this time, what did you win? You remember what you won last time?
A cookbook.
Ooh.
Yeah.
So you probably lost it. That sounds like a consolation prize.
No, I know where it is.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sandy, someone out there plays along with you. And Sarah, how does that work then?
Somebody who wants to play along at home picks up the phone and dials 1-800-942-5669. And you ask them a qualifying question.
All right, this is kind of an odd question, but it's apropos of nothing. Those arrested for laser attacks on planes, there's a big rash of people shining their lasers at planes because they think it's whatever. It's really stupid. Anyhow, those arrested for laser attacks on planes are mostly boys and men in their what? In their what decade of life? Men in their 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s. There's men in one particular decade of life. And boys tend to do their lasers at planes. So that's not interesting, I know, but I thought it was at the time. Paul's on the line from Woodstock, Illinois. Hey, how you doing there, Paul?
I'm doing good, and you and I have something in common because we both had a birthday yesterday.
Oh, you too, huh?
Yeah, I'm also a Pi Day Pisces.
Pi Day and Einstein. I get Einstein a lot.
And Michael Caine and Billy Crystal and
Michael Caine, that's right.
Quincy Jones.
Oh, cool. We're cool then.
We're very creative, intelligent people.
Yes, and good dancers. Not.
Not.
Dance, and they say you're a good dancer if you're Pisces. What a joke. Fish? You see a fish dance? Paul, what's going on, Paul? You got something going on today yet?
Actually, our local library has a miniature golf fundraiser inside the library today.
Oh, you get to golf inside a library. That'd be really cool.
Go down the aisles, and they have one hole. I mean, they're sponsored by different local businesses here in Woodstock. And one of the holes, you actually putt into a toilet. And
that's a great
idea.
It
goes down through a tube down to the lower level of the library.
That's just great. Paul, those arrested for laser attacks on planes are mostly boys and men in their what's? What decade of their life?
Well, I'm in my 50s. I'm trying to think if people in my decade might...
Well, I wouldn't think so, would you?
I wouldn't think so. No. I think it'd be probably younger.
Think so?
Yeah, maybe a little younger.
Okay, how much younger?
Probably like 20s or 30s.
Okay, which of those do you think?
Which of those?
Not 20. So young that they'd be young, but a little bit older, so they wouldn't be so
maybe
they wouldn't
not
be old
20.
Yet, necessarily.
Yeah, so maybe like the 30s.
You're saying the 30s?
That's what I'm thinking.
So you're telling me that those arrested for laser attacks on planes, the few that they've actually arrested, mostly boys and men in their 30s?
That's what I'm thinking.
That's exactly right. Paul, I like the way you think. Us Pisces really can reason stuff out.
That's right.
What a dance. Are you a good dancer, Paul?
I am not.
No,
I am often in musicals on stage, and the choreographer has their hands full with me.
I mean, they're throwing up their hands, basically.
Well, they're throwing up. I don't know about their hands.
Paul, this is Sandy. Sandy, Paul.
Hi, Paul.
Hi, Sandy.
She's a copywriter, and you're a... what are you exactly?
I'm a proposal writer. I write business proposals for a wellness company in Chicago.
Business proposals for a wellness. Excellent. Just different type of copy, really.
That's right.
Think about it.
Yeah, and I've done different writing over my career, everything from radio news to PR
and yet
marketing.
And yet I never hear from you, Paul.
I'm sorry.
You could write once in a while.
I could.
Paul and Sandy, you are a team. You work together. And what categories have we, Sarah?
The categories are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, science, and odds and ends.
Okay. Paul, you pick the first one. What would you like? Why is that always over? Do I do that?
Well, P is for pie and Pisces. Let's do people.
People it is. All righty. Women worry about 6 body parts at last count, on average. While men worry about how many body parts? Is it 3, 2, or 1?
Goodness gracious.
Goodness gracious, that's right.
Probably just 1, if it's the one I'm thinking of.
The one you're always thinking of, Paul?
Well, I wouldn't say always.
No, not always, no. Think just one.
I was thinking just one. Just one. Well, but what were the choices again?
Well, I'm sorry. If you say one, it's...
Oh, it is just one.
It's no, it's not.
Oh, it's not just one.
It's 3, 2, or 1.
It's 3.
3 body parts?
Yeah, we probably wouldn't have got to that. Man, what 3 body parts do we have even? I have no idea. That's a shocker to me. But according to the Today Show, men worry about 3 body parts. Anyone got 3 body parts? Don't show the guy in the kilt there. No, I don't want to. Don't ask him this question. All right.
That is.
Probably would have kilt this question.
Yeah.
0 right.
You're going to win another cookbook the way you're going.
See why I just don't pick up on the cues.
Turn this around.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, what's left, Sarah?
Current events, places, things you should have learned in school, science, or odds and ends?
Sandy.
School.
School. See, now, why is this always over here?
Because you're writing down names and numbers.
Do I take this off here and put it there? I thought there's a poltergeist or something. I keep looking around in my quiz box. Questions are on the far side of the table. Look over here, see if it moves. Nope, it's not moving. Okay. What'd you say?
School.
School.
Thanks.
Okay. Things you should have learned in school. The 5-second rule. Much heard about, you know, when you drop something, you pick it up in 5 seconds, fine to eat. Currently, it's gone back and forth in history, whether it's true or not. Is it currently in or out? In terms of research that's being done right now, the 5-second rule.
I think it's false.
Not what you think.
So
it's not what you think.
So it's
no, it's not what you think.
So it's true. The 5-second rule
is the thinking now currently that in fact it is true, or is the current now thinking rack that it's not false?
It's true.
I think
true.
It's that it's true.
So you're saying it's in right now in terms of thinking, research thinking?
Yes.
Yes, it is. Congratulations. Yeah. And I couldn't have garbled that much more, I don't think. It's being studied at Aston University in the UK, and they found it was exactly 5 seconds. Isn't that amazing? Where the microbes start to really... See, I did it again. I caught myself doing it. Where the microbes start to get to the point where they're actually a factor. You don't agree, sir? Oh, you do? Okay. You're just shaking your head for no reason. Did you know you're doing?
I thought it depended on what you drop.
And where.
Yes, if it's bologna or something.
And what
sticky.
Is that score right now?
That would be 1 right and 1 wrong.
Okay.
And the categories remaining
heard it on
are NPR. Current events, yeah. Places, science, or odds and ends.
Bill, Paul?
Let's do current events.
Current events. You get called Bill a lot, do you, Paul?
Not usually.
Okay. So why are they so excited about the diamond with the hydrous ringwoodite inclusion in it? Are you sure you want current events?
I didn't pick it.
Yeah.
I didn't, I wasn't anticipating that.
Yeah, okay. You don't want
No.
That.
No, it doesn't have a ring to it.
Yeah, what would you like? Very good.
Let's do places.
Places, okay.
Yeah.
Least likely to tip, and I mean at all, are people in one of the following places, San Francisco, Milwaukee, or Atlanta? Least likely to tip.
Least likely to tip, Atlanta, Milwaukee, San Francisco.
Not the poorest tippers or the whatever, but the least likely to tip at all. San Francisco, Milwaukee, Atlanta.
Well,
he seems to emphasize Atlanta, Sandy. I'm thinking maybe he's trying to give us a hint there.
The hint being Milwaukee?
What?
No, the hint being Atlanta. It seems to like it come down on that, like Atlanta. Boy, those guys.
Did I? I wasn't aware of doing it. It was a nervous tick. I always come down to Atlanta when I'm speaking for some reason.
I have no idea.
So Atlanta?
Sure.
Okay, all right. Atlanta is right. Chicagoans are most likely to tip. Chicago leads the league in tipping.
You know,
but Denver are the biggest tippers. So that's kind of interesting.
We usually tip over, but that's another thing.
Good one there, Paul. I don't care if they call you Bill. I really don't.
That's two right and one wrong.
And remaining?
Are science or odds and ends.
Science or odds and ends.
Odds and ends.
Odds and ends. You're going to nail this one.
I know.
I really do.
I'm feeling
good about it. The oldest living land creature may well be Jonathan the giant tortoise from St. Helena. Well, I want to know his age, approximate age. I think they know it pretty well for some reason. I don't know, they can tell by the teeth or something. I have no idea. Jonathan the giant tortoise, is he 151, 182, or 203 and 6 months?
Wow.
Oh.
Well, I don't think it's a 203 and 6 months because we wouldn't have probably the month that he was born.
Ah, good thinking there.
Yeah.
I think that would probably be pretty difficult to determine.
Yeah. I can see how you would write a proposal pretty good, I think. 151, 182.
182 sounds good to me.
It does?
It does.
Can you tell me why?
Because you're nodding your head.
Once again, a tick. It's a nervous tick, actually.
He's slowly nodding it like
it's
a tortoise.
It's from the bobblehead experience I had, posing for the bobblehead.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I like 182.
I like the 182.
Yeah. 182 is right, 182 years. And he looks great. He's got cataracts. Otherwise,
Sandy, you can smell like bacon in every nook and cranny with Mr. Bacon Body Wash. Drives dogs crazy from Archie McPhee. Paul from Aesop to Zydeco, from the Amish to the zombies. You'll find it all in Michael's book, Glad You Asked, intriguing names, facts, and ideas for the curious-minded, from the editors of Encyclopedia Britannica and Triumph Books. And both of you can quaff your favorite libation from a News Perks mug, good stuff for your best customers from Kenosha News, and entertain friends and foe alike playing What Do You Know the Party Game, including the magnanimous Michael Feldman bobblehead from Out of the Box Publishing, available exclusively at notmuch.com. Great.
Nice to see you again. Congratulations. I can't play again for another 20 years.
Hey, Peoria, what do you know,
fans? Make sure you get that. Thanks for playing.
Michael and the gang will be in your neck of the woods next weekend. That's Saturday, March 22nd in Peoria. Come to the Five Points Theater in Washington, Illinois to be part of the show. Tickets for the special broadcast are available at notmuch.com.
Bye, all y'all. Thanks for coming. Thanks for listening. Talk to you next week from Peoria.
Michael Feldman's What Do You Know is produced at Wisconsin Peoria. Public Radio for Public Radio International. Michael Feldman, producer international. Adam Friedrich is our producer with assistance from Chris Miles, Jacques Lyle Anderson, Martin Babcock and Diana Cook. Our technical director is Tom Lane, with help from Aubrey Ralph and Brad Colbert.
PRI, Public Radio International.